everybody, and welcome to Who Cares About the Divas? With you, as always, is me, your host, Kristen Studdard. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Joe Quazala.
Hi. Hello. This is going to be very confusing for anyone who
is... It's already confusing for me. Mm-hmm. Guys, you may have noticed that I'm introducing the show, and that's because... I am in charge for this, our 100th episode.
100.
Keeping it 100. And for our 100th episode, JoJo over here asked if I would come up with an idea for the show and host it. And I said, give me some time.
Mm-hmm. It feels like when you hit, this is a landmark.
Yep.
When you hit a landmark like 100, I just feel like you got to do something a little bit different.
You got to mix it up.
It's a little special, yeah.
And this is a very special episode hosted by me, Kristen Studdard, about something that I do care about, which is the Divas. Mm. And in this episode, we will be watching VH1's Divas Live from 1998. And 1999.
Ooh, okay,
I have managed to acquire both specials.
My God.
And we will be discussing them in detail with our guest. You probably know him as a frequent guest on Who Cares About the Rock Hall. He's a first-time guest on Who Cares About the Divas. Our friend, wonderful guy, comedian, friend of the show, Joey Devine.
Hi.
Hi, Joey.
I'm such a big fan of Who Cares About the Divas.
You're the first person to ever hear it.
I will say, Kristen, what you should have said to intro is the podcast where I know a lot about the Divas and my friend Joe knows nothing at all.
Oh, that's right. The voice of the common man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really going to represent the layman.
Oh my gosh, the Divas. Thank you. And also, Joey is here to keep me in check because I don't listen to our podcast. And
exactly.
I'm going to be doing an approximation of what I think our podcast sounds like. Also, for those of you listening, do not worry. Joe Quazala is still doing our sound engineering and editing.
I'm manning the boards, and I will have to probably begrudgingly edit this at some point.
And we thank him very much for his hard work. I just want you to know that, like, I haven't gone back to also being the sound editor.
Mm-mm.
Those were
never the
times.
Editor, but the engineer.
The engineer.
Yeah.
Never the editor, always the engineer.
During your era, there was no editing.
Nope. We would just put them straight to...
Yeah, I wouldn't... Yeah.
Wow.
Wouldn't just do a damn thing.
Just a straight drop, straight to the internet.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't even in post moderate any levels. Wouldn't,
wow.
Yeah.
Would you re-listen to it?
Wouldn't compress a damn thing. What's up?
Would you re-listen to it?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes, yeah. Often it would just be, it's going out there. And you know what? If you listen back to some of those old episodes.
You can tell.
Could have used a scrub.
Yeah.
Could have used a little bit of a scrub. Could have used some monitoring, some editing for length. Some of those episodes, like in the first few months.
What's our longest episode up until this point?
We nearly hit 2 hours talking about Taylor Swift with Ellie McIlvain.
Oh, that's because we had wine. It was a night podcast. I do remember that. We had wine. It was a night podcast. This is a night podcast right now, but mm-hmm. There is no wine.
No wine. But even if that happened again, I would put in the work to make sure that it came in at a reasonable length.
You'd cut it down or you'd make it a two-parter.
Exactly.
See, I edit my podcast, but very rarely for length. I'm like, whatever.
What do you edit it for? Content, in case somebody says something terrible?
Wrong no. about Paul Pierce?
I make it... my podcast is, of course, the Round Ball Rock podcast, but no, I have to add a lot of stuff. We have a lot of...
Sound effects, a lot of boing-oing-oings.
Do you drop clips like we do?
Oh, yeah. And then I have we have drops that I have to make and stuff.
Like in a radio? Like a radio
segment,
morning show?
No, but it's more like segment introductions. Like our show's mm-hmm, broken right. up into segments.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That seems professional.
Hey,
I mean, it's not because I'm doing it, but yeah, it's in theory.
Right.
Hey, speaking of segments, up top, what we like to do on Who Cares About the Divas is just get a feel for our guests and my co-hosts' knowledge of the Divas, interest mm-hmm. in the Divas. So, Joe, I guess we'll start with you since this is the first episode. Up until this point, probably your biggest introduction to the Divas has been through me, you know? Probably,
I think that's true.
probably yeah. through my Induct the Divas campaign.
Yeah, a refrain, you might call
yes,
it.
Yes, yeah, my refrain, my really popular hashtag. hashtag.
Uh-huh. We still have merch somewhere, right?
I have the tattoos and we will be giving them out at some point on this show.
Maybe in Cleveland.
Yeah.
That seems like the place to do it.
That, you know what? I think that's an excellent idea, Joe. Tell me about what you know about the Divas and do you care?
Right. So I think you might know, and our listeners might, they could probably guess that, like, I watched a good amount of VH1 growing up. And so if you're just kind of watching it on the regular, you're going to see commercials. I don't think I've ever seen a Divas live concert, but I... You know, the probably the most I've ever seen is if, like, I was taping something and I caught the last minute or so of Divas. But I could probably name a lot of the Divas.
There will be a time to do that.
We should both try and name the Divas.
Guys, I've got the segments going, okay. All right? I do have, like, a loose plan. It is a loose plan, but I do have a loose plan.
You know, maybe the first time I heard about the Divas, I was confused because I wasn't expecting that term to be positive.
Yeah.
And like, it's kind of like taking the term that was originally meant to be pejorative, was meant to be like, you're acting like a diva.
In some ways, although the OG definition of a diva is like an opera singer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I did
dictionary.com.
I just Googled definition of diva. I still have the tab open on my computer. And it says the first definition is a famous female opera singer. The secondary definition is a famous female singer of popular music. And the tertiary definition is a self-important person who is temperamental and difficult to please, parentheses, typically used of a woman. Uh-huh. I'll say.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. So they took back the diva.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I felt like leading up to, you know, divas being synonymous with these female singers, that the most commonly used was a prima donna.
Maybe in your circles.
Joey, what do you think? Back me up.
I mean, I definitely knew the opera singer definition. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would have thought of it as pejorative probably too.
Like, she in the 90s, she's such a diva. And then in the late 90s, it was like, oh, go ahead, diva. Get down.
Yeah.
I would say the change of the definition of diva is, it probably starts here, right?
I think so. That's my theory.
I mean, I don't know that the Divas specials were single-handed in causing a cultural shift around the word. I think they definitely were important as far as making it a popular terminology and kind of framing how I think of it.
Because I wonder if it was even like a difficult sell for the artists.
That is the thing in this. We'll get to it later, but there were some artists that were on these that definitively did not think of themselves as divas, whether that is positive or negative. Like, some of the artists who wound up being in these specials, and there are a lot of them. Mm-hmm. There are more than you would think.
Right.
Some of them that wound up being in these specials either were like, oh, I don't think I'm a diva because I don't think I'm sassy enough and brassy enough and bold enough. Or some who were like, oh, I don't like the term diva exactly because I am not. I'm not a diva. Like, I'm just an incredible singer who deserves respect.
I'm a humble queen.
Yeah. All right, Joe.
Yeah.
And Joey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What we're going to do is we're going to watch the 1998, the very first Divas Live on VH1. The inaugural. One that burst ratings records wide open for VH1. It did. It was like a very highly rated program.
I could see that.
I remember them plugging the shit out of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I used to watch Behind the Music pretty much constantly.
Right.
They would
air three things on VH1 in the late 90s. It was like Divas, Behind the Music, and the Nelly Furtado I'm Like a Bird video. That's what they aired on VH1 on repeat. I'm like a bird.
That might be early 2000s, just for the sticklers.
Yeah, because I do believe that Behind the Music came after the Divas, right?
Oh, I meant the Nelly Furtado video.
Yeah, Nelly Furtado was 2000. No. Yeah, 2000. I'm like a bird.
So I'm just thinking high school.
Well, another the thing that I associate with the Nelly Furtado I'm Like a Bird video is that they would play a snippet of it at the end of VH1 shows.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
And they would, just as they were rolling the credits, they would like kind of hype their own shit on the left, and sometimes they would just be like, an artist you should know. And it was either Corinne Bailey Ray or it was Nelly Furtado. Yeah.
What's the Corinne Bailey Ray song? It's not Girl Put Your Records On, is
it?
Yeah,
it is.
It's Girl Put Your Records On.
She's on a bicycle.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that, but I always conflate Corinne Bailey Ray with India Irie, which is...
That's your own thing to reckon
with. Which is music video. That was her song. Wasn't it called Music Video?
India,
that was the India Irie
dot
song.
Irie. Mm-hmm. It was there's a period.
Not unlike
in there.
Apple dot
D app. D is it dot D period app? Yeah. Yeah, there's two periods in there.
Oh my gosh. I'm trying to find out if it did break records. I know that it was very highly rated somewhere.
Because then post Divas, then they start doing Storytellers Live too.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, and I mean, the biggest, we'll get into it after we have watched it, but who do you think is on this very first
98, can I
this
ask
is
you,
the first Diva.
This is the first one. Can I ask you how many?
Oh, yes, you can.
Okay. Because that will, because I think Joey and I together can knock them down.
Okay. Here's who were, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 headliners and one guest performer.
Okay.
So my first guess, and we can go back and forth. Mm-hmm. My first guess is Aretha.
That was going to be my first guess. I have a guess at the special guest.
Ooh, this is cute.
Okay. So my guess would be the five would be, and this, at least this
and
is
also
fantasy
this
drafting.
Is coming from Joe's encyclopedic knowledge of VH1 as well.
I would say Aretha, Whitney, Mariah. Those are like the three.
Celine.
Celine, yeah, I think was an OG. And then, I mean, was Estefan an OG?
I have a weird feeling Jewel is one.
That's
of them.
Wild. Also, Shaka is kind of.
I don't think Jewel's on the first one, but I think Jewel's on the second one.
Okay.
Okay, so let me.
But she might be a later one because there's more.
Who do you think is the special guest? Was it Jewel?
I think the special guest is Elton John.
Ooh, interesting.
Because I very specifically remember Elton John being on a Divas and then making a big deal about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's the first one.
Hmm. Okay, so your guesses thus far were Celine, Aretha, Whitney,
Mariah. And then that last slot were, I mean, Joey's thinking Jewel, which is a bold
choice. Well, Joey's thinking Jewel as the special guest,
No, he's thinking Elton as the special
fifth
guest.
Okay.
I think Elton John is the special guest. I know he was a special Divas guest, but I don't know if it's the first one.
I think also who could be in the mix is Patti LaBelle, Roberta Flack. I don't think Dionne Warwick.
Lauryn Hill wouldn't have done it.
Correct.
But 98 is...
Is right in the sweet spot.
Is
right
peak of her powers.
Yeah. I think they are among the people we already mentioned.
Okay, so your top five right now, you only have four. Who is going in your fifth spot? Is it going Jewel?
Now that I said Patti LaBelle, that just feels like it could make a lot of sense. Or
is
what?
Stevie Nicks one? Because I know she did a Divas too.
I think she's later. I bet my guess is that Stevie would not consider herself a diva
this
before the term was established, before the brand was established.
Like she might be old school with it and be like, I'm nobody's bitch.
I think so. And I think like, but I don't want to be difficult. And that's not, especially given that.
That she lived in someone's basement to avoid annoying her boyfriend.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry,
as we know,
that story just sticks with me.
At the induction.
From her speech at the induction where she's like, well, and I was just worried that they were going to know my producer boyfriend was my boyfriend.
Well, and they tell that the other side of that story on that documentary. Jimmy Iovine tells it.
Oh, yes.
The Jimmy Iovine.
Was it Jimmy Iovine that she was dating?
Yeah. Height and
that
Tom Petty.
That. It's just perfect.
It's Jimmy Iovine and Tom Petty. That's who she's talking
about.
Yeah,
it's Tom Petty. She didn't want him. She didn't want Tom Petty to think that. She didn't want him to think less of her because she was dating Jimmy Iovine, or she wanted to stay out of their way.
Yeah, I don't know. Stevie said a lot of stuff during that speech. Famously, nothing on the prompter. We could see the prompter.
Yeah.
And then the only thing that was ever on the prompter was, please wrap up.
Gosh, the really, it is very interesting. First wave feminism happening.
I'm sorry, I'm still thinking.
Yes, please. Yeah, so who is your fifth?
So is it
Stevie, Patty, one?
It's Alanis chat. One.
Alanis?
I think she was one.
Wow, I don't think so. I think my guess is the first year of Divas was relatively concentrated genre-wise. Yeah. Like, that's before we get, because I think Sarah McLachlan ends up showing up.
I know Alanis does.
Wanda Jackson is eventually a diva, which is wild.
Wanda Sykes is a diva.
Wanda Sykes
Hall. Well, again, Elton John
definitely
was one.
Right.
I just don't know if it's this time.
All right, guys, I need a fifth diva and then a lock-in on your special guest too.
I'm going to say, I want to say Patti LaBelle as the fifth.
Are you comfortable with that, Joey?
Sure.
I'll give you
a name just came to me though.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Tina Turner?
Ooh, let's do Tina.
Yeah.
Let's absolutely do Tina. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Wise. I can't believe we didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, who's your special guest?
Now, see, you have this you're compelled to Elton, but
I just remember he was one, but right. I don't think it's this one. I don't think it's the first one.
I wonder if it's an earlier, if it's like Ruth Brown.
See, I think.
Or like Etta James.
No, I think it's someone new.
Or Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I see.
Do you know what I mean? It's someone
that they're trying to break. Like, this is a future diva. You know what I mean? Yeah, okay, that's interesting.
So, like, somebody like Pink or Macy Gray. Mary J. Yeah, let's go Mary J. Blige.
Okay.
So that's our six.
All right, so we've got Celine, Aretha, Whitney, Mariah, and Tina with Mary J. as the special guest being their guesses.
And I do want to say there, if I had to, I think that's good. I do feel like Gloria was, if not 98, 99.
I think she's going to be on the second one.
Okay.
Look, I love Gloria Estefan. Love the Sound Machine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Miami one.
Yeah, but if you're drafting five divas... Well, she's going six here. You know what I mean?
But I guess part of the thing is who's available.
True.
So it's not... We put together a great lineup.
Yeah.
This is a dream team, an ultimate divas lineup.
But, you know...
This is a dream divas lineup, and I really enjoyed hearing you guys dream about it.
Yeah, but, you also have to consider who's gettable, who will share a stage.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we were talking about divas here.
See, part of me, too, the reason I keep going like, Jewel, is I'm thinking... Very specifically, like VH1's programming at that era too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys,
I think Badu shows up at one point too.
Ooh,
I think Erica Badu shows up at one point too.
Okay, yeah. Very interesting. How long did Divas run?
There were several specials. The last one was in 2016.
What?
Yes. I'm going to tell you guys all about it. But first, we're going to watch Divas Live, the very first one, 1998. And then we'll come back and let you know. See you later. Welcome back to Who Cares About the Divas? Well, we have just... experience Divas Live 98, and we are so much the better for it, I think.
Sure.
We were able to... Sure? How do you both feel?
Sure. It took a while to get going for me.
It agreed.
How so? It begins immediately with just a right off the... bat.
Right off the bat, two songs I have never heard before. Like, Mariah has some incredible songs, even at this point, and at 98, and it's like, these are not the songs I would pick.
Agreed.
So I'm going to tell our listeners, so you guys were close on the your guesses. The divas were Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, Aretha Franklin, Gloria Estefan, and Shania Twain, with special guest performer... Carole King.
I had a feeling about Gloria, but Shania was a true surprise.
Well,
we really should have just thought about VH1 in 1998 harder.
Mm-hmm. I would have thought of that video where she's on the beach, right?
Still the one?
Yeah. I would have thought of
it. I feel like a woman they played so much.
Sure, that Don't Impress Me Much. Yeah, there was some true...
Was that Don't Impress Me Much also from that same album? Yeah,
I believe so.
I have no idea.
Wow, it was... what an undeniable series of songs for good old Shania. So yeah, it begins immediately with Mariah Carey and 25 pounds of hair.
A weaved to end all weaves.
Weaved to the gods, yeah. If you will. Stepping on stage and singing one of her ballads that Joe, you've never heard before, but Joey, were you familiar with the song My All?
A downer ballad to start on, though.
I don't know. It's a nice song. I don't think it would be.
I mean, she sounds good. It made watching
she looked
it
and sounded great.
She looked great. She sounded amazing. It made me wonder, like, man, can you get your voice back? Like after you lose it, is that
physically possible? I don't think so. I think that there's a level of damage that you can do to it. That I don't know if she has vocal nodes or what the deal is.
Is it gone?
It is gone. Yeah, yeah. She can't sing like that anymore.
Does she still sing, though? Does she still sing,
yeah. And she had like a residency in Vegas a while ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of video of her. Mm. Have you ever seen that gif of the Mariah Lazy Dancer gif?
No, I'm not
familiar. It's very good. I'll show it to you guys. It's her singing and all the dancers around her are like going double time and then they just like pick her up and she's just being carried around by dancers while everyone around her is dancing really hard. She just gets carried from one side of the stage to the other.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's it's definitely diva.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, it's diva in all the ways, in the good and bad ways.
I liked when Mariah said, I'm doing my best.
She said, I'm doing my best to be a diva.
Because again, at this time, it's not really established what that is supposed to mean.
There's an incredible lack of talking.
Yeah, there was no talking.
This entire thing.
It now, feels very edited.
Yeah, it
like,
definitely
There's some cuts in this that are sloppy, almost like on purpose.
Yeah.
Like you can tell there was a much longer show. There's a podium we see at one point.
Yeah.
No one ever uses.
So yeah. There was,
it just gets in the way of divas interacting with the audience.
Would you like to know who the presenters were?
Yeah.
Do you guys have
any guesses? There were some presenters. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I bet you can guess one of them, but just based on watching the show.
Christy Brinkley.
No.
Because she was definitely in the audience.
Yeah.
Lorne Michaels.
Nope.
These are all people we saw in the audience.
Who was the third person that we saw in the audience?
Renee?
This is a woman.
Oh, excuse me.
Renee is Celine's husband, not a woman.
The
just
old
for
man,
our
R.I.P. Who else did we see in
Here's
the...
what I will say. I made the joke. Susan Sarandon.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the presenters, according to the Wikipedia page, were Jennifer Aniston, Joan Osborne, Patricia Arquette, Terry Hatcher, Sarah McLachlan, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Susan Sarandon.
Why wouldn't you show that?
I know.
Those people are
star
insanely
power.
Famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must have been boring. No, I don't know.
And they must have. This was only an hour
it
special.
It was one
right?
hour long. Yeah. So they must have just.
They were
done
tied
that.
Into a time slot.
Yeah. And they did cut. Yeah,
why?
They,
so they could
cut
show that?
Several.
But why did it have to be an hour? It's on VH1. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
What they had to make room to show that Aidan Quinn Paul McCartney movie again?
I do not know. That's who is this for?
They made an original movie where it's like 2 weeks before John Lennon gets shot.
And it's like Paul McCartney comes to
John Lennon's house to hang out, and Aidan Quinn is one of them. He's either Paul McCartney or John Lennon. I remember
this.
What was it called? Do you know?
Probably it was called John and Paul or something.
Probably, yeah.
Or Two of Us.
Or like, You Could Have Stopped It. Yeah. Is it called that?
Where Were You?
I think the idea is it's right after Saturday Night Live put out the $1 million check or
and
whatever.
They're like, should we go? I think that's the classic story is that they were in New York together and they're like, oh, should we go down there?
Well, so,
anyway,
so Mariah sings
it
my
been four
all.
Hours long. What no, are yeah, they doing?
This is, well, I agree. I think it should have been shorter, but I think other things could have been cut. I don't mind that it was 1 hour. I mean, you know how I feel about watching a 3.5 hour Rock Hall induction.
Mm-hmm. Right. But anytime you have a chance to have Jennifer Aniston on TV in 1997 and you're cutting her, what are you doing?
You make a good point. I wonder what she did. Like, did she introduce someone? Like, what was was it? I have or, no idea.
Just like pontificated on the idea of divaness.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
she stand at the podium and go, "Webster's Dictionary defines diva."
Turn the Beat Around was really when I would like woke up. Because the Mariah stuff.
Oh, because you, so the second song was Make It Happen, which I can't believe you don't, you neither
know
that song,
but it's.
Snooze, and also it has not stuck around.
They were
like,
so
you don't
slow.
Hear that
the both of those songs are slow.
See, I disagree. I think Make It Happen is a bop. I love it. It's got a choir in it, and it also gives Mariah a chance to do some runs, have some fun.
Sure. It just seemed weird.
And the crowd was on their feet for it. I thought there was like energy in the house.
Neither of them are like her biggest hits. Like
you could really, yeah.
What would you have her do?
So, I mean, my favorite Mariah songs are probably Always Be My Baby. Boy, don't you know you can't escape me? Ooh, darling, 'cause you'll always be my baby. And we'll linger.
Yeah.
And Fantasy.
Always Be My Baby. I don't know if these are out yet.
They are.
They're definitely
out.
Always
by now.
Be My Baby did come out in 98, I believe.
I think it's before then. 98 was probably around when like Heartbreaker was coming out.
Yeah.
But Always Be My Baby and all those other ones were definitely before.
Oh yeah, 95.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, watching this show, I was like, this is completely out of order. You either open on Man, I Feel Like a Woman, which wasn't very good, but it's still like, hey, a show is starting, moving fast,
upbeat.
Or Mega Mix, or the Gloria Estefan
Mega
Mix.
Mega Mix. Yeah. That would have been very cool to begin with that. No, I agree. I think that there were better Mariah songs. I like those ones,
it just
too.
Was
I just
so
like all
slow
her stuff.
To start a show with.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we had someone come and turn the beat around.
Yeah.
My God. And then this is around the time where we really noticed that the chyrons they have, because they have chyrons for every song and everyone who comes out, and it's very, the font is almost insulting.
Yeah.
It's like
very
for the ladies.
Yes. Yeah. It's very Dove Chocolate. It is very, it is a script font.
Yeah.
In white on a red ribbon background, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's very Valentine's Day. I didn't love it.
They did Turn the Beat Around, which is fun. It like it felt like I woke up a little bit. And then they did a newer song called,
which was bad.
Heaven's What I Feel, which I found was the first performance of the song ever.
To debut it, Gloria.
And it was given to Gloria by presumably someone who didn't want it, but all it said was it was given to her by Celine.
Wow. The Celine reject song is we
in
had to
full,
sit
but then a mega mix of a bunch of songs that,
we actually
hear.
Wanted to hear. Yeah, it was a really boring
one. The mega
one.
Mix was good.
Conga, I Rhythm is Gonna Get You, 1, 2, 3, Get On Your Feet.
And
loved the mega
it began
mix.
With Dr. Beat. Like Gloria didn't have big diva energy. I felt like she seemed
like
a little embarrassed to be there. Not embarrassed. I mean,
humble.
She struggled with her shawl.
I should mention Gloria seemed like she was having trouble walking in the dress she chose.
It was a slim foothole.
Yeah. It was a very tiny
I have no idea what any of those words mean.
You know, like she couldn't move her legs apart very much to walk.
Actually, Slim Foothole was inducted as an early influence. He's an old blues guy.
Slim foothole. Oh, and then she did have that whole part where she was standing next to the podium, which was bizarre.
And she was like, flute! And then there was a crazy flute solo, and they didn't cut to it. And they just cut to her near the weird podium.
They yeah. did not show it. It was
Once
unfortunate.
Gloria got back to the mic stand, she seemed more comfortable.
She mm-hmm. turned that beat around.
Yeah, 100%. Great songs, though. Amazing yeah. band leader.
But
good
that,
job.
Well, and
it's when the show felt like it started.
Well, and mm-hmm. each diva brought her own band, which they had to change over during the mm-hmm. commercial breaks is a
while
little
while Susan Sarandon was
little
giving pee- vamping.
Yeah.
yeah.
Maybe that's what was happening.
Yeah, it was
is
like
that
noisy cymbals were falling over.
Yeah. They couldn't use it.
They were sound checking while Jennifer Aniston was giving the definition of diva.
Patricia Arquette was predicting all the awards she would yeah. win someday. Then we get Shania comes mm-hmm. out.
Let's go, girls.
Let's go, girls. She comes out hard.
It reminded Joey of his sexual
yeah.
awakening.
Yeah. 100%. The 15-year-old inside of me was like, yep, still the hottest woman I've ever seen.
I mean, she came out in pleather pants and a midriff bearing top.
Looking good.
She was yeah. really, she was peak 90s with the outfit, the hair.
Big
it was
hair.
Great.
Real big crimped hair.
Well, and there's a little trivia on that. That was like her nod to being a diva. She said, I wanted to indulge in the diva moment. So I went for the big hair and I had a lot of fun with that. I wanted the hair bigger, as big as it could get, she recalled. It was a change to play with the diva moment that I was in. I don't consider myself a diva as far as whatever people consider the classic diva. But I was like, yeah, I'm going to just indulge in this and have fun and have really big hair tonight. And then the person who was producing it was like, I did not want Shania Twain. They did not want her. They did not think that she fit the bill as a diva.
She doesn't.
But who was it? I think the producer, he convinced the other producer to put her on the bill. He was like positive that she was going to be huge. And then by the time that divas actually started happening, you're still the one.
Yeah.
She's like
yeah.
the biggest, most relevant, pertinent, like hot of the moment. So yeah, she does, man, I feel like a one inch.
Just does, man, I feel like
yeah.
a woman.
Well,
Shania
did,
gets the short stick.
Yeah, she did You're Still the One, but it was cut.
Cut from the ceremony for some reason.
Which is wild.
Yeah. I wonder if it just didn't feel right, or if she... We kind of thought she was lip-syncing, but I don't think she
I
was.
I don't think she
no.
was. I feel like that would be like a thing that mm-hmm. people would have talked about.
Yeah. She has a crazy band. She,
her band.
Yeah, that's right.
They look like huge dorks. Like her.
It looks like she went to your high school jazz band and then they instantly became 22 like
yeah.
they
and said, hey guys, wear what you want.
And there are just dudes like wearing sweatpants.
The guy, the violinist in a t-shirt singing backup vocals to Man I Feel Like a Woman is yeah. very good to me. Mm-hmm.
And like her keyboard
her
player has a fedora and like tinted sunglasses. Yeah, it's,
and he's like going ham on a very mm-hmm. stupid part. That was some very good 98 type business. But yes, yeah, so You're Still the One gets cut. And then also, so then we get Aretha Franklin. This was also cut, her singing A Rose Is Still a Rose, which was not released on the live album or on the home video, according to Wikipedia. Hmm. But then we do get this cool little duet. Well, we get Aretha singing Chain of Fools. Mariah smiling
next to her.
Yeah. A little nervous
and definitely like in awe that Aretha is even acknowledging her, yeah. allowing her to sing at all.
Mariah looks at the camera as though to say, like, can you believe this?
Yeah. Yeah. Which to me is what Divas Live is all about. It's about these moments where they're meeting their heroes, the people who inspired them, and getting to sing along mm-hmm. with them. It's very cool.
See, having watched it, what Divas Live is all about for me,
please,
is Celine Dion doing a horrible cover and acting like the strangest person alive,
which is what comes
which
next.
Is yeah. the actual next thing that happens. So Aretha and Mariah do a great job on Chain of Fools. It's nice. Aretha goes off,
the audience
Mariah,
loves it.
The audience can't believe their
the life. Audience is almost like, finally,
yes,
an actual diva.
Well, and there was like major drama around Aretha Lisa's performance, because it almost, she almost didn't perform on the show at all, because when she had told the producers that she would do the show at the Beacon, but she absolutely could not have the air conditioning on, that it's bad for her vocal cords, that she does not perform with the air conditioning on. And so they were like, okay, we won't, we'll, so she goes to do her rehearsal. She shows up, and there's like a story of the guy, of the producer has told this story where she is on stage about to sing, and she, and he said he had sent someone downstairs to stand next to the AC and make sure that it stayed off. And he's like, I don't know what happened. I don't know if he walked away on the job. I don't know if an automatic thing kicked in.
Oh, no.
But as she's about to sing, she hears the fan kick on, the AC kick on, and she walks. She's just like,
talk about a diva.
She's like, mm-hmm. diva behavior. She, and so she walks. She did not rehearse, and they did not know if she was, if she was going to show up or not at
my
the show.
My God.
And they were like, up until the night of the show.
And if she didn't, all that they could have done is aired Susan Sarandon.
Oh my God. I mean, thinking about the idea of pitching this show must have seemed crazy. It's called divas. You know, that word you use for people who are difficult to work with. We get six of them and we put them together. That just, like, no, but.
So apparently she's, next thing you know, she's walking out and she's saying, I'll be at my hotel. I'll see you on Sunday. And they're like, okay.
Horrifying.
We'll
a producer's
see,
nightmare.
We'll mm-hmm. see if that works out. So yeah, she did show up, but at the time they were like nervous if she was, they had heard from someone that she was getting dressed, and that, but that she was apparently eating powdered sugar donuts, and that the powdered sugar was getting all over her dress, and they kept having to
that
clean
is
it off.
Like a cartoon. Mm-hmm. It's
So that's the tea, honey, about the Aretha situation.
I would have guessed that Aretha did not get along with Celine.
Well, that is also the thing too. Celine is the only one, and we'll talk about this at the end, but Celine is the only one who, she didn't really have any interaction with Celine, because they did
right.
not,
they didn't have to like,
they didn't do
press
a ton
or,
of rehearsing.
Rehearsal, yeah. Yeah, Celine. We really need to talk about Celine.
So next up is Celine.
The fucking
she
greatest,
comes out
dude.
Singing River Deep,
it's
Mountain High.
I cannot stress how insane this performance is.
It
it is.
It does feel like she's allowed to do whatever she wants.
Yes.
She does. She like wrecks shop on this show. She gets to sing three songs. Uh-huh.
And she's going ham. She's doing Steven Tyler shit with a mic stand. She's doing finger guns. She sticks her tongue out and crosses her eyes at one point. She more or less, I think the, you guys.
She humps the air several times.
It keeps looking like she's going to do the suck it move.
I thought like, oh, she's doing church lady dancing. Like that's really what it resonated.
She played air congas at one point.
She looks like she thinks she is crushing it. She's like, this is it.
Well,
these
she
are my
is.
People. And she's doing, she is not.
She is crushing it.
She is crushing the song in a way that I, that is so painful to me. I really did not
she
enjoy.
She is crushing it because this is the craziest thing I've ever seen on television.
Yeah, you said it was like watching foreign television.
Yeah, it was
very
like
accurate.
Watching Eurovision.
It is.
The Eurovision,
the Eurovision
competition.
Song competition.
Yeah.
Well, and also she, I said this while we were watching it, but it is, her singing style is like hearing a Broadway singer sing a pop mm-hmm. song. It's like, mm-hmm. there's something off about this. Like, why don't I buy it? Mm-hmm. Her singing
yeah.
River
yeah,
Deep Mountain
terrible.
High, a song which I truly love. Mm-hmm. It is
a
so
soulful,
upsetting.
Gritty. Yeah. And it's just, she, yeah, Celine does not have any soul or grit.
Mm-hmm.
Or any of the characteristics you want beyond technical mastery.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She does not possess any of those human qualities. She's very much like an alien and is an incredible singer, but like even just the way she operates, everything is very alien. It feels very calculated,
it's
and
awesome.
Mechanical.
It's
Joey
so
was
crazy.
Loving it. I'm standing here, my jaw is dropped, and Joey's like, this is the best part of the entire show so far.
It was.
I haven't
it
liked
was the
anything
best part.
Except this.
I would. It's the only thing I'd watch again. It's the only.
Well, so then Carole King comes out, and they sing The Reason together. It's all because of you. You are the reason. which is
a song that was new. Also, song. Carol had written it, and
it
Selena performed
it. It was the
A-side
to "My Heart Will Go On."
Yeah, it was a double A-side with "My Heart Will Go On." And we just need to talk about that.
Yeah,
I mean, like, if
so,
there's anything you want to talk about, Carole
thing
King.
Is, no, because it was like fine and it was okay. It was mostly boring, and
in my opinion,
cuttable. The reason
Absolutely.
Was cuttable, mm-hmm. but boy, am I glad they kept in Celine Dion's dedication.
Yep.
to the
passengers and crew of the Titanic. It's.
She literally says, I would like to dedicate this next song to the passengers and brave crew of the Titanic.
With the utmost sincerity.
Absolute
so much.
Sincerely.
It's like it just happened.
yeah, as though if she hadn't said it, it would have been a problem.
This is pre-9/11, guys. We didn't know
what tragedy was.
And then she just sings "My Heart Will Go On," the biggest song
ever.
Yeah,
at the time.
Yeah, my God.
Oh yeah, gosh! At one point, I wrote, "Is Celine coming?"
Yeah, that's what she looks like constantly.
During "My Heart Will Go On," she really did look like just so pleased, and that was when "No Standing Sarandon" happened.
Mm-hmm. Because everyone gives her a standing ovation except for Susan Sarandon.
Sarandon yeah.
Because Susan Sarandon wanted Elliot Smith to win the Academy Award.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. So after that triple Celine header, Carole King comes back out. Now, here's the thing. There was an unaired song that Carole King sang alone of "It's Too Late," which is a great song, and I would have liked to have heard her sing, but that was not aired in the television broadcast nor released on the live album or home video. Next up, we have Carole King, Celine Dion, Gloria Estefan, and Shania Twain doing a just nice little version of "You've Got a Friend."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, they each get their turns to sing, but every time it would happen and it would go back to Carole King, I kept thinking, like, I wish Carole King was just singing this song.
Yeah, right. I mean, she's the person who should be singing
yeah,
the song.
Yeah, because her voice is so interesting and good, and, like, that song is really meant for
And
her
she's
voice.
Incredibly charismatic in a way that the other three women are not.
Mm-hmm. She's effortless.
She has rapport with the audience. Mm-hmm. She turns to the audience and gets them involved without having to tell them to stand up or get in their face with a weird air hump.
The air humps
are tight.
She's the diametric opposite of
Celine Dion. Yeah.
She is extremely authentic, effortlessly likable. She is not trying more than she has to,
mm-hmm.
but she's still putting on a great show.
And Gloria and Shania are doing fine. Shania always has her eyes closed almost through this entire song. I noticed a lot during the whole show, she had her eyes closed a lot. I think she was not ready to be in this company.
Well, she's
do you know
not,
what I mean?
Well, it makes sense now that you tell us she wasn't that famous when this
yeah,
is Yeah,
this was like the mm-hmm. beginning of her uh-huh. skyrocket to fame. You know, and so it must have been a total mind fuck for her to be on stage with Aretha Franklin, mm-hmm. you know. And then I think Gloria, too, she was like, oh, I know my place. Like, she's pretty chill. But then, you know, the next thing we have is Aretha comes back out. Aretha, Mariah come back out. They join everyone. So it's all the divas and special guest Carole King singing Carole King's opus, "You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman." Mm-hmm.
There's no other choice.
There's you no know, other right. choice.
What else would you do?
You know, Aretha gives an introduction to it, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Aretha's also really connecting with the crowd. She is not attempting to connect with any of the divas at all. I think she thinks it's her own concert. at point she keeps talking about how great the audience is and how happy she is to be here and just doing her own personal story and then singing the whole time. And then at one point she puts her arm around Mariah and
which
allows
everyone else must have felt like, fuck.
Yeah.
She only likes Mariah.
She mm-hmm. does. And it's very clear it's that she only clear. Likes like, Mariah. She brings Mariah close and she,
this is where I would like
allows
to
her.
Commend Gloria Estefan for a second. Because there's sort of a sing-off going on where these women are trying to out-sing Aretha Franklin.
A fool's errand?
Yeah, except
a chain of
for
fool's errands?
Gloria Estefan essentially just puts the microphone down. She's
she
the
knows
only
her
one
place.
That does not attempt to come at the queen.
Yeah, there's absolute value in knowing your place, and yeah. you can see that with Gloria.
Yeah, and Aretha had not rehearsed too, so they didn't know what she wanted to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and she's singing over everybody's verse, and she's getting like funky and like weird, and
she's bumping people out at
yeah.
points.
It's not egregious, but it's not subtle either.
It's very, this is my song, my stage. And I'm making sure you know that. It reminds me of when Michael Jordan plays in an All-Star game.
yeah.
A good comparison. Yeah.
Good,
absolutely.
Good comparison.
And boy, oh boy, does it seem like Celine is annoying to be around.
Yeah.
She's...
yeah.
She's just like... She's basically like kicking... High kicking and like
it's great
yeah. pumping the air.
She's really trying to get some stage, some time. She's trying to sing looking into Aretha's eyes, mm-hmm. which is like an insane thing to do.
Uh-huh. Like she's an alien. She does not understand. She doesn't understand.
Oh, but here's an interesting fact. So by the time Divas Live aired in April, You're Still the One was a mega smash hit, turning Twain into a household name and giving her the third most popular song of 1998. And in fact, Shania's segment was the highest rated quarter hour of the Divas broadcast. Blame it on Joey's teenage boner, but...
hey, all of our teenage
yeah.
boners.
Oh, and another fun fact about this Divas thing is that the poster was designed so that each singer's head was exactly the same size down to the millimeter.
Divas.
Yeah.
They're divas.
Can't live with them, can't live without them. And all of the Divas concerts are benefits for the VH1 Save the Music mm-hmm. Foundation. And the way that Divas... Live kind of got started was that they had been having these VH1 honors programs, mm-hmm. which were kind of
vaguely remember this.
Yeah, they were like Grammys adjacent, kind of mm-hmm. honors show adjacent. They weren't incredibly popular, and then the Divas came, and so they kind of like shelved those in 97, and in 98 pivoted for the rise of the Divas.
My God,
so. We are going to watch another Divas. Do you guys have any final thoughts on Divas
nope.
Live 98?
I highly recommend watching the Celine Dion performance just to see. It's like a car crash. It's an incredible car crash. I would watch. I'm going to watch it again. And it's the only thing I'll watch again from this performance.
So now next up, we're going to watch Divas Live 99.
You know what? Let's do Divas 99 next week.
Special two-part episode.
Wow.
Yeah. 100 into 101.
Let's well, you
it.
Know what you do.
Give me a little bit of power and I'll take it off.
100.1 and 100.2.
Oh. No.
No. Mm. No, it's going to be 100, 101.
We'll do 100 and 101. Well, that means that we're wrapping up this episode then. Joey, do you have anything that you would like to plug? Thank you very much for being here and watching
Thanks.
Divas Live 98.
And thank you to Celine Dion for making all those crazy bird faces.
Yeah, is your plug that you want everyone to watch?
No, listen to Round Ball Rock, the NBA podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Yeah, at Joey Devine on Twitter, patreon.com/roundrockpod, Twitter at roundrockpod.
And Joe, anything that you would like to tell our listeners?
Yeah, the day this is dropping, March 6th, is a Friday, and I am in Pittsburgh. I'm headlining the Club Cafe.
Dude, how many sandwiches with
freaking
fries
on
them are you going to eat?
Permanente bros.
It's going to be disgusting how many I do, but also beautiful. Yeah, I will be...
In your hometown.
In my hometown. So come on out. It'll be a very fun show.
And I, Kristen Studdard, will still be in Los Angeles. I don't know if I have any shows. I have not looked at my calendar for that day. guys, this is the end of the episode. So follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rock Hall Pod. You can email us at rockhallpod@gmail.com. If you want me to see it, you're going to need to mention that specifically in your email somewhere, or else Joe will read it and it'll never meet my eyes. Please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And please get in there, rate and review us, 5 stars only. And if you are listening to this episode, please make sure to say
Celine Alien.
Celine Alien. Figure it out. Mention the divas and Celine as an alien so that we'll know that you are a big diva head and that you're here for me being in charge. Thank you, Mike Lloyd, for the logo. Yusu Kim for the music. Joey Devine, who's right here for the equipment. And Ramona Chernick for allowing us to record in the apartment that I share with her. And Pantheon Podcasts. I'm your host, Kristen Studdard.
I'm Joe Quazala.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?
The divas.
Oh, whoops.
Y'all might as well get ready, because we're going to have church here tonight. Jesus.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.